When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks with us for an hour, brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, how are we feeling, man?
What up? How you guys doing?
Your voice is all over national media asking Jalen the big question.
Sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting answer by Jalen.
Well, interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, where do I start with this? So
it's always a good thing to hear about a team. Where do you start? Yeah.
Well, why don't we start with the offense in general? Because I think it is fair to say that even injuries aside, we all expected to see something that felt a little different than you were watching it, than we've seen before. It hasn't felt that way. And, you know, there's three key people I think you could focus on when you're talking about Kellen Moore, quite obviously, Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts. So Chase Daniel, former backup quarterback here with the Eagles, got paid, what, like $8 million?
Too much money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I remember tracking his training camp stats.
But
were they impressive?
Not as impressive as Jalen's.
Well, he is a really good, reminds me of Orlovsky in a way, really good guy who was a backup quarterback, but has been really good, I think, diagnosing what's going on in football. And here's what he said about Jalen and the offense.
My biggest issue was, like, he didn't seem to really know what he was doing when the pressure came. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because of the offensive line. But you go back, you look at Jason Kelce, right? Like, the loss of Jason Kelce is huge. And so the biggest thing for me is I'm seeing quarterback out there throwing hot when he's not hot. And so it doesn't know if he understands the offense. Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, it's been going well. Saquon is without a doubt like the best running back in the league, and that's why, let's be real, that's why the Eagles are 2-2. Mm-hmm. It's Saquon Barkley. Yeah. And without Saquon
Barkley, it's a team.
And without Saquon Barkley, though, I don't know. They might be 1-3 or 0-4 based on the team that they play.
So the concerning thing there is that he is saying it doesn't look like Jalen knows what he's looking at out there. Mm-hmm. So that is all to get back here. Do you think the slow start overall for the offense, at least the feel of it, is a Kellen Moore issue? Is Nick Sirianni involving himself in the offense, or is Kellen Moore calling this game because of Jalen Hurts's current limitations?
I mean, it all circles back to Jalen. Like, Jalen audibles and adjusts to play at the line all the time. So that's part of what you're seeing. But everything they do is building to Jalen Hurts' strengths, or what they perceive to be Jalen Hurts' strengths. Now, I would disagree a little bit with Chase Daniel on that. I do think Jalen as a whole this year over four games has looked more in control of what's going on than he has in the past. I think he's been better against the blitz overall. Now, this past week against Tampa, I think they had two major problems. One, Todd Bowles just outcoached them. And Todd Bowles clearly has Jalen's number. Every time they play, he has their number. But I also think what happened is their offensive line, and Fred Johnson specifically, did not play well. Fred Johnson led up 11 pressures. That's four more than any other offensive lineman in the entire league this past weekend. He really struggled. So credit to Fred Johnson for playing well against the Saints. And I think it was you that made this point. Like, mm-hmm. When you have a full week of defensive guys looking at you, mm-hmm. it's much tougher. So I think Jalen is already prone to leaving the pocket early, which is ironic that his fumble came from staying in the pocket. But I think when you are going against a coordinator that has you've struggled to diagnose in the past, and your offensive line struggling, I think that's why he saw on certain instances Jalen went to, I guess, his perceived hot read when there maybe wasn't pressure, because he was expecting pressure early in that game for the rest of the game because it came early in the game.
Yeah, listen, maybe it's something as simple as Todd Bowles has his number. Like, he's been with three different coordinators now, I believe, going up against Todd Bowles, Shane Steichen, Nick's first year in the playoffs. They went up against Todd Bowles. They've gone up against Todd Bowles with Brian Johnson. They won, and then they lost at the end of the year in the playoffs. And now you have Kellen Moore that they've gone up against Todd Bowles with, and they haven't had a lot of success. So we all remember the mic'd up clip from the playoffs a few years ago from the assistant coach that said, Jalen, to something to the effect of
he
can't read the defense or what have you. So, and when you put these exotic blitzes up there with guys you haven't necessarily worked with, I guess you can become a little skittish in the pocket. Here's what's ironic about that, though, from Sunday. He didn't leave the pocket. That was an issue.
Right.
He stayed in the pocket too damn long. Yeah, he stayed there too long.
Yeah.
Like, you almost wanted him, dude, get out. So it's hard for us to sit back and play video game with him. He's the one out there feeling it. Mm-hmm. So he has to have better awareness of when he should leave versus when he needs to stay in the pocket and let routes develop. Because it's easy for us to judge him after the fact.
Right, screenshot it. We're watching from up above.
Yeah, and it's but after the fact.
Like the second fumble he had, which was recovered, I actually thought was more egregious than the first fumble. The first fumble...
It was more egregious.
The first fumble was an awesome play by Lavonte David. Like, mm-hmm. Jalen has to feel the pressure, but at the same time, Lavonte David absolutely crushed Saquon in pass and blitzing, and then was on the ground, got back up and knocked the ball out. Like, it was a very good play by him.
The ball should have been gone.
I'm agreeing with that, but I'm saying the second one, it was just an edge getting around, and Jalen didn't feel him at all. Like, he did come from behind,
and he stood there holding
the ball.
Forever.
That's the point I'm making.
Was that the third and 29 play?
It might have been. Yeah, it was the recovered fumble.
They recovered it.
Yep. Yeah.
This isn't a full-throated endorsement of Kellen Moore at mm-hmm. all. But everyone keeps saying that it doesn't look like Kellen Moore's offense. It doesn't look like Kellen Moore's offense. There has to be a reason for that. And you touched on this in the beginning. The reasons are one of two. It is either Nick Sirianni is influencing him to call the game a certain way, or Jalen Hurts is incapable of executing the sort of offense that Kellen Moore wants to execute.
That Dak Prescott.
Right. Well,
I'm just saying, if you want to see Kellen's offense, it's 5 or 6 years of Dak.
And Justin Herbert. I keep harping on this, and I'm sorry that I keep harping on it, but for a team that wants to be a running team, and for a team that wants a quarterback who wants to get rid of the ball quickly, which a lot of times comes in rhythm, part of the problem, so Jalen not being under center is a huge problem. And from a rhythm perspective, if we want a quarterback to get rid of the ball quickly, part of that is 1, 2, 3, go.
Yep.
And what happens is what I see, is he is trying to snap the ball in shotgun and assess everything that's going on instead of trusting where people are going to be and just getting rid of the ball. And to me, what seems to happen is he's back there, he's looking. By the time he is deciding he wants to throw it, it's too late.
Yeah.
And that's when he tries to buy time and he stands back there because he's waiting for the receivers not to run their routes,
but to get open
because the moment he had to throw is gone. And it seems hard.
Here's some of that is that.
It seems hard for me. First of all, the idea, I'm sorry, Elliot.
No, go for it.
The idea that Nick Sirianni, who almost got fired, who the team took a week and a half to decide whether they're going to fire or not, then they go out and hire an offensive coordinator and let it be known to everyone, whether it is through their own voices or through intermediaries, that this is going to be Kellen Moore's offense and Nick's not going to be involved in play calling. The idea that this guy, who is so scared to keep his job, and I don't mean that as a negative, but wants to keep his job so badly, he agreed to all these things, is going to Kellen Moore behind the general manager's back, behind the quarterback's back, who's not even allowed to talk to, and saying, Kellen, I know you're going to be judged by this, but what I want you to do is run an offense where the quarterback has no chance, make the offense very boring, everything that everybody's seen before. It just seems insane to me.
Well, also just simplistically, think about the offense. The offensive coordinator changed. There's been some change in the responsibility of the head coach. They have a new running back. They have two new starters on the offensive line, and it looks the same. Who's the constant? It's Jalen. Last year, we did this with Brian Johnson, where he's not good enough. He has to go. He's the problem. I see a lot of similar play calls this year. I see, quarterback screens on third and longs. I see wide receiver screens. I mean, it just doesn't look that different. So I just think it's Jalen. Like, we can beat around the bush and say it's Kellen, it's Nick, it's all these things. In my experience covering the team, oftentimes when the struggles begin, it is because the quarterback is faltering. It just... simplistically, that's how it goes. Jalen's turning the ball over, and he's been slow with his reads. And as a result, the offense isn't functioning as well.
And I think we're getting to a point in the NFL where we've seen a lot of... I think there's two things going on. One is quarterbacks are playing in shotgun a lot more in college, and they have to play a lot quicker in the NFL. So there's a lot of guys that are not used to being under center. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing is we are getting back to... I can appreciate a quarterback who can move back there. There are more quarterbacks who can run. I'm not saying running quarterbacks.
Right.
Who can run. But for you to be a running quarterback, where the running is a primary part of what you're doing, you have to be very explosive. It's almost like Lamar Jackson's success has convinced a lot of teams that this can be a part of it, as opposed to the quarterback thing where, and I don't think it's just because I'm old, the quarterback thing where you drop back, and you throw to the guy who's open, is just, he's not good enough.
This is where
that.
maybe where we disagree. Because I think he's better at what you're saying just there than maybe you do. I don't think he's elite at it, but...
Running?
No, at just throwing the ball. I mean, the problem is the turnovers. They're moving the ball.
Yeah.
The ball is going up and down the field. They put up 34 points against the Packers week one. They got into the high red zone, or whatever
they
want to call
it. They had over 400 yards against Atlanta.
They're moving the ball.
Yeah.
The problem is the turnovers. So why I agree with you that in 2022, the level of passer Jalen was there, he has not looked like that level of passer. The real thing that's changed is he's turning it over almost twice a game.
He's right. That really is the major difference. Now, I understand wanting different elements to the offense, and I wish there was a little bit more of the Shanahan / McVay style offense where you get under center, you know, you put the ball in the belly of the running back who's in the dot, you can run play action, you can do quick wide receiver screens. There is something to a timing aspect of running offense with anticipation that we don't do in this offense. Mm-hmm. You know, Spike sitting there, he was describing sort of what Jalen's QB play is like when he's in the shotgun and he's waiting on that. There's a lot of truth to that, and that's a hard way to have sustained success. Like, the one thing I like about Shanahan and McVay's style type of offense is that there is a fundamental basic principle that you can get back to when those other things that you tried to add to the offense don't necessarily work. They always go back to their bread and butter. They can put Brock Purdy under center. They can put a Jared Goff under center. People talk about the OC in Detroit wanting him. I forget his
Ben
name.
Johnson.
Ben Johnson. Yeah. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You see the offense they run in Detroit? There's a lot of times Jared Goff is under center, running play action, stretch runs where you can get under center, and then the running back is in the dot or an I sort of position. It isn't an offense that's strictly out of a shotgun. And 80% of our offense, if not more, excluding tush push, is out of the shotgun.
Well, there were two plays against Tampa Bay. Like, we've talked for a few years. Why don't they run the running back screen? They never run it, right? Like, you have Saquon, you had Swift. Why aren't they doing it? This past week against Tampa, they tried. They had it. It was set up. Saquon was open. The blockers were there. Jalen threw it over Saquon's head. They tried, and this was out of under center. They had him. They, you know, did the fake handoff. He rolled, and he sailed the ball over his head. Later in the game, they tried to do it to Kenny Gainwell. He also missed that throw. So
I definitely
get what you're saying, Spike. Yeah, I'm not completely disagreeing with it. The point I'm making, though, is I think maybe we're going too far in saying, like, they can win with Jalen if he takes care of the ball.
Let me give you a hater response to what I, because I know that this is what it'll be perceived as. So, the Jalen is throwing short passes more than he ever has. He is bottom
short of the stick.
So he's bottom third in the NFL in terms of how far the ball is going, his target. If I'm a defense, what I'm saying is, I know if I give you enough shots at this, you're going to turn the ball over.
It's the theory. Honestly, it's frankly exactly what the Eagles do.
It's what they want to do on defense.
Now, the only counter I would say to that, and this is where I think in a small sample size you have to factor it in a little bit. I mean, they are throwing it to Saquon and Goddard because they're missing AJ for three games. They're missing that, so that's part of it. But I get your point.
I think you can look at Sunday in a vacuum. At least I am. That to me was the worst performance of the offense this year. And there should be obvious reasons why it wasn't a good performance. But the other three games, including New Orleans, they did move the ball up and down the field. They moved the ball up and down the field. And you're right, it's the turnovers.
It's the turnovers.
In the red zone. Like, think about where those interceptions came. Jalen throws he throws a touchdown against New Orleans down there. We're thinking differently.
But the other thing that happens in the red zone, and this is why red zone offense is harder, is you have less field to work with.
Yes.
And those
tighter windows.
Yes. And those defenders who are just sort of letting you, because his completion percentage with those shorter passes is higher than it's ever been. I think he's completing 70% of his passes. I don't know that he's ever done that. But the defense can say, okay, all this room that you had before to complete it's all gone.
I don't think Jalen's great at throwing with anticipation. Like we talked so much, me and you, a few weeks ago about the throw to AJ, right? Where in the end zone against the Packers. Mm-hmm. To me, what's noteworthy about that play is Jalen is pointing at AJ, saying, hey, I'm going to come here. Like, Jalen doesn't often, in my experience of watching him, but especially this year, not often when he throws the ball is the guy coming out of his cut or hasn't yet cut. Normally the guy is open when he throws it. He has to see it, right? So to your point about the red zone thing, and honestly, I think that's why Nick went conservative against the Falcons and took the field goal is because when it comes to critical downs, like fourth and three, and look how bad they've been on fourth down this year, when it comes to critical downs where the play has to be operated the way it's supposed to be operated, like it's a fourth and three, this is what you need, it has to be out quick. That's just not his strength. His strength is when he has longer to hold the ball, when he rolls out, like he can be creative in that way. But his strength is not running plays on time, in my opinion.
I tell you what, when he does run plays on time, throwing it to number 11,
he's certainly better at that.
Yeah, no problem throwing it out there on time.
Yeah,
but you have to be able to throw it at everybody like that.
Here's where, and I think Jaws said this. He may have said it on the postgame show, and I completely agree with it. The problem with that is, it's great. We know AJ can get open, but there are going to be times he doesn't get open. So when you have to go to your second, third, and fourth read, that's where Jalen is having issues. It's sort of getting through the progressions and finding the other guys. How many times do we look at plays and we're like, well, yeah, he could have went to that guy right there. He could have went to that guy right there.
And the thing about Tampa, real quickly, is obviously you understand why the offense struggled. Duh. They're missing arguably their three best players on the side of the ball.
And the defense put them in a worse position.
And the defense put them in a worse spot.
Yes.
The issue I had with Tampa was the offense struggled because of Jalen. Like, there was, I think the biggest play of the game was the first play. Yeah. If he hits Saquon for that touchdown, it changes the entire game. You just tied it 7-7. You got Saquon the ball early. You made a big play. Like, I just think it changes the entire complexion of it. But when you miss it, and he's the one that missed it. It wasn't like AJ was there and dropped it, or Jahan Dotson dropped it. No, he missed that throw. There were times where Jahan Dotson was open. He wanted the line of scrimmage. He's going down the field, and Jalen overthrows him. So, yes, the lack of talent impacted him, but what I saw when I rewatched the game is not a lack of talent hurting him. It is him and his inaccuracy with his decision-making.
It's not about the lack of talent hurting him. It's the lack of talent hurting the team's chances to win the game. You're right. He's responsible for his own play.
Right.
You know, so if he puts a ball in a certain area and they drop it, that's one thing.
And that's not what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I'm not saying a lack of talent hurt Jalen or made him play bad. I'm just saying, like any quarterback, when you don't have that level of talent out there, it makes your job harder.
Yeah.
Makes your job harder. You take the top two receivers off any team and see how Joe Burrow looks.
For sure.
Without Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. See how Sam Darnold would look without Justin Jefferson and Addison out there. You take the top two receivers away, it hurts what your quarterback's going to look
like. I agree, but the issues he had were not that different from the issues he has when AJ and Devontae are out there.
No, they're just more prominent.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just more prominent. Yeah,
they're magnified.
Sure.
They're magnified. Yeah. Well, because those guys are not making up for...
Right. Whatever it is. That's what that talent does.
I will say, like, post-game, being there with Jalen, I thought his talk about how he let the defense down, how he has to improve, how it starts with him. I know he gets criticized a lot for how he talks at the podium, and I've heard a lot of quarterbacks say they have to play better. I do think he seems genuine in that.
Yeah,
I thought it was a very genuine, I know this starts with me.
We said that yesterday. He has sounded different in his press conference. He's got to play better.
Just saying.
I'm with you, yeah.
Not that it means anything. I know you have to change it, but...
It's been 4 weeks.
I get it. I understand that, but I think sometimes...
When you hear... No. I'm not doing that. We've heard that 4 weeks. I can't put the team in a bad position. I got to play better. You don't get credit for stating the obvious. If you know this, then change it.
I agree with you on that.
So you can give him credit. That's fine. I'm just saying, that's not something we should be rallying around, is that Jalen took accountability for it. What's the alternative? To blame somebody else?
I agree.
Nick says they're team turnover.
By the way, is elite spin.
Yes.
It is.
Well,
I'm almost jealous.
It's only elite spin if it makes you think about it for a second. Nobody's thinking about that. So it is bold. I will give him credit for that. So we haven't gotten your answer, which we'll get next, on the most important thing, because it is Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon Show. It is Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon
Show. You guys know a lot of those lyrics, by the way.
It's Hold'em.
I was impressed. Jack's not listening.
On the WIP Afternoon Show.
It's going to hurt his producer of the year rankings.
Yeah. Wake up, and
Jack Fritz has issues.
But when he's talking less,
I got nothing to do back here.
Yeah, he's like AJ over there. He's not getting the ball.
I'm Nick Sirianni handcuffing the show.
Yeah. He said I'm not getting the ball.
I'm like Kobe. Give me the ball.
Fritz Dotson.
We have Fritz. We have the next month is
saying it's a month. It could
this
be
time
a week.
Next week. It'll be the high hopes season over pod.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding. I think they're gonna win the World Series.
Okay. Well,
I think it's there.
Shut up.
They have the best team. They have postseason experience.
Can't lose
a Citizens Bank.
We will find out whether Elliot is holding or folding his preseason prediction for the Eagles. And your prediction was 10-7? Is
10
that what your prediction?
Yeah.
So that is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Number one. Taking away. Huh? Temporary layoffs. I can't do that part.
Good time.
Now, I said John Amos was my first TV dad.
Yeah.
Well, Thelma wasn't my first TV sister. Just know that. No. Wait. Nick Saban used to kill me by how stiff I was. Yeah, Thelma Evans, man. Come on, man.
It's the WIP.
Hardest wood I'd ever touched.
Thank you.
It's the WIP afternoon show. Now you're getting the ball. Okay, he's taking it. He's taking the ball. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. As of right now, the Eagles will win more than 10.5 games or less than 10.5 games. 74% say less than 10.5 games. So
people really abandoned this team. Yes. I'm not saying for the wrong.
Well, but
normally the negative side gets pushback.
Everybody wants to forget about last year, but it's still in people's hearts. They still remember it, whether they want to attribute it to it or not. I just think that's part of why people are ready to turn.
Oh, yeah.
I do not believe Nick Sirianni is a problem with the team. I truly believe he is a great head coach, and I think the record backs that up. But I also think
you are.
It's true. I don't know how he's not a great head coach, but regardless.
Do the Eagles think he's a great head coach?
Yeah, they clearly do. They brought him back. How's he not a great head coach?
Stupid, how is he a great head coach?
So he has the second highest winning percentage of any
what does he do
head coach.
That's great.
I'm going to tell you. I think he's a great CEO head coach. He sets the culture in the building. I think the culture. The players really like him.
I agree.
That's something that gets underrated until the players don't like him. So, what even is this music supposed to mean?
It means that he's playing you off.
He's playing you off. Okay. All right.
So I agree the players like him. Setting the culture, it's a bad week to say that you set the culture.
But we can't just decide a culture is a week-by-week thing. The week before, they went down to New Orleans and had a great win.
What I'm saying is they lost, and five players are throwing temper tantrums on Twitter, and the quarterback is giving a passive-aggressive answer. So don't...
Right.
The culture, yeah, the culture thing is not like the culture here. Is great, is what you're saying.
We're talking big picture here. Yeah. Since he has been here, he has, in my opinion, been a great head coach.
Okay.
But here's where I was going with this.
Yeah.
I think... there is a world where they probably are going to have to fire him to move on.
They're definitely going to fire
him. Whether it's his fault or not, and I don't think it is, the stench of last year, you got to move on from it. And with Nick here or Jalen, I just think that stench is going to be here until they win like five or six in a row in a few playoff games. And that's extremely hard to do.
He feels like a lame duck head coach without his contract running out. There is the feel of lame duckness because of the context of everything. It feels like he is not only that,
there's the feel of the end of the Carson Doug era.
Yes.
Right.
This isn't a, like, we're framing this like this one or the other. They both may be gone.
Yeah.
They both may be gone. Because here's the other thing. How many people or how many things do you have to change around? And this is so eerily the way it was with Carson towards the end to appease the quarterback. He doesn't like this guy. He doesn't like that coach. It's the same thing that was going on with Wentz.
Well, here's the other thing.
That
people, I don't think, take into account enough that want Nick gone. How many great head coaching candidates are coming here to sign up with Jalen as their quarterback? Like, that has to be considered, right? If they're going to try to get Ben Johnson or the Texans offensive coordinator, whose name's escaping me right now.
Slewaville, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Bobby Slowick.
These guys are going to have ability.
I like Slewaville better.
Slewaville?
Yeah.
I just knew it was SL in there somewhere,
like Slovak?
Man.
Yeah.
These Bobby guys. Slovak.
That's Slovak. I knew it was an SL and a V in there somewhere.
Slewaville.
Well, next year you'll have to learn it, so I guess, you know.
Well, Jahan Dotson still hasn't earned his name on this show yet.
No, yeah, he's still Jahan.
No, I thought I went to Jahan.
Nah, you
feel
still,
like you've been
slipped.
On and off.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when the fan base has lost faith in a head coach or quarterback, it's really, really hard to rebound from that.
Well, especially when you're not winning.
Well, it's not really hard if you win.
Yeah.
Right. No, I know, but turning it around is hard. Like, we like to look at Brandon Graham as an example of someone that everyone hated and he turned it around. Brandon Graham was a defensive end. While he got a lot of public scrutiny, it is a different level of changing the public's perception of you when you're head coach and quarterback.
Especially with that weird thing. It's more likely they're both gone next year than they're both back, in my opinion.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So, hold them or fold them.
Look at this. Unacceptable.
You know, he never has. Hold on. Turn it down. If he needs hardest wood I've ever touched, how quick?
Yeah, he hit that with no problem.
How quick? If he needs
hardest wood I've ever touched.
If he needs, Nick Saban used to kill me for how stiff I was.
That's right on it.
If he needs, you know, this is
my drop board. This is in my, if this in my is, audition.
If he needs, this is my show.
Boom. Right on it.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. I am not afraid of you. Right. So. It's hold them or fold them day. I am not a fun person. Fold them on your preseason prediction would mean you're revising it to lower. You predicted 10-7. You hold them, holding or folding that prediction?
I'll hold it. You know, you could convince me to go to 9 easier than you could convince me to go to 11. I think after seeing this team for a month, they're just an average team. They're average. They have great players, but overall, they're inconsistent. And Nick talked about this yesterday. When you're inconsistent and you're losing a turnover battle, I can't pick you to beat almost any team. Like, you look at the upcoming schedule. Are they better than the Browns? Yes, I think they're better than the Browns. Are they better than the Jaguars? Yes, I think they're better than the Jaguars. Do I think they'll win both those games? I have no idea. Because week after week, they play well, but the turnovers just absolutely levels the playing field.
Elliot, are you a Jaguar guy? Did I just hear that?
The Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Nah, I don't think that's right.
You and Bengals guy over there.
Jaguars.
Crown, Bengals.
Yeah, it's Jaguar.
Bengals.
There's no I in that.
I'm not saying an I. Jaguars.
But you are saying an I.
You are. Oh, man.
A little bit, I guess.
We got to send you to broadcasting school.
It's like despite. In spite.
Yes, we're back.
Can we get the English teacher back here?
Yeah.
Jaguar.
Dave and Fox Chase, you're on WIP.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so pissed at these guys.
That could be the yearbook title.
Yes. Yeah. Eagles Video Yearbook 2024. Yeah. I'm so pissed at these guys.
It's a picture of Jalen and Nick.
So, Dave, are you holding? What was your preseason prediction, Dave?
12-5.
You holding or folding it?
I guess you have to fold it at this point, but I got so much to talk about. I mean, I go back to watching Randall come in on third downs for Jaworski. And what I see right now is you can blame Jalen. Of course, I'm not necessarily a Jalen guy. I was in his favor. But I got to tell you, when you have receivers, your top receivers out, your top right tackle, one of the best in the league's out, and you don't run the football, I don't understand that.
But when did you want him to run it?
The whole game.
Yeah, but they were down 24 to nothing. And for what it's worth, they tried to run the ball early on. They did. The first two plays went to Saquon. The second drive, the first play should have been a 20-yard completion to Goddard, but he dropped it. That's not on the coaches. The second play after that was to Saquon. So I agree. Like, you can't defend anybody for how Sunday went. Everyone gets blame. But this idea that they didn't give it to a Saquon enough, I just don't think is true.
Well, is that Spike talking?
No, that's Elliot. Different white guy.
Yeah,
Elliot, you think that Sirianni's a great football coach?
I do.
No one thinks that. Anyway.
Well, I don't know if no one thinks that. But
30 attempts, when you're missing that many players on offense, you have to run the ball to give your offense and defense a chance to stay in the game. You know you're shorthanded. That's JV stuff.
No, but when you're down 24-0, the running game has to go away. It just is.
In the beginning of the game. You have to run the football. You have to go under center.
Yeah, but
what gives us an opportunity with Kellen Moore watching the Cowboys play, Prescott went under center. Ezekiel Elliott got a ton of touches.
Yeah, but that's
because they could do those things. Jalen can't go under center.
Don't tell me he can't go under center.
Well, then why don't they do it? Why don't they do it? He did it all the time in Dallas. They did it all the time in Dallas, and he got here and completely abandoned the idea of under center.
You think that all of a sudden he forgets how to coach?
No, I think he is coaching, and he's saying Jalen can't go under center.
That's no way. He's a professional athlete. You know how talented Jalen is?
But then, honestly, why aren't they doing it, honestly?
Hold on. Dave, Ben Simmons was a professional point guard who couldn't
shoot. A jumper, yeah.
It was a mistake that everybody knows.
No, but Dave, honestly, then, why do you think they're not under center? I'm curious why you think they're not under center.
I can't answer that.
Because the answer is Jalen. You just don't want to say it.
No, the answer is coaching. When the coach tells you to do something, you do it.
But that's not how it works.
No,
they can't
Dave,
do
yeah,
it.
It's not.
You can't coach to someone's
yes, that's
weaknesses.
That's not how it works.
You can't do it, Dave. And no one – I appreciate the call, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting to the point – we're slowly getting there where – it's a lot easier to blame the coaches. I understand because you can change a coach a lot easier than you can change a player. But we're starting to get to the point where people are, I think, getting there where they're like, well, we've had a number of different offensive coordinators, and yet the thing is still there that it is, I know it sucks that we think we have an answer for a franchise quarterback. Because now this is the second straight time where we thought we had an answer.
Yep.
And it starts to become clear that it might not be the answer. And it's hard emotionally as a fan to say,
not ready to accept that.
Yeah, we got to go through
and
this.
And quite
again.
Frankly, let me be honest.
Yeah.
You're dooming bloomers around here.
I was going to say,
here.
The key word there to me is might. I don't think it's decided on Jalen.
They're not there yet. They're 2-2.
Okay.
But no, but it's not about that. I just think
what is that for me?
Like, I think that Jalen's deficiencies, there's not a ton of them. Like, if he can take care of the ball, which might just be his fatal flaw, it might be. But if he gets back to taking care of the ball, I think he is absolutely a quarterback you can win with, despite his other.
Ben could just shoot. If Joel could just stay healthy.
Look, that's fair.
Yeah.
He might not be able to do it.
If Ryan Howard could hit, after a shift.
Hey, man, if they didn't have a shift in play back then, Ryan Howard.
But I'm saying, but Carson at the end of his career couldn't take care of the ball. His accuracy was bad. He broke his back. He had a concussion.
Well,
he had a torn.
So he was throwing the janitors, and no offense to everybody here, but I'm just saying, he was throwing the people that shouldn't even be in the NFL.
Right. I guess
back.
That matters.
We did break his back.
He
did. Trying to play through. He didn't get credit for that.
Carson fell apart in part because of injury. Jalen doesn't have that yet. So I don't think Jalen's a lost cause. It might be heading that way, but I don't think you can definitively
actually,
say.
Jalen's completely healthy.
Right.
Wentz had at least injuries to.
People love to push that side, but it is a big part of why
he got tore his ACL and he broke his back.
There are quarterbacks.
And he had a concussion.
There are quarterbacks who have success earlier in their career and never refined it.
That is true.
100%.
And especially, I'll go back to, everybody remembers the kneeling thing with Colin Kaepernick, who was a mobile quarterback who there was a lot of success with early on, who had specific detriments to his game. They forget that before the kneeling thing started, he got benched in San Francisco because he wasn't good anymore.
But and Jalen's success was not a flash in the pan. Like, I almost think you're describing like Jeremy Lin with the Knicks. We had like Lin Sanity. That's not
how many.
You can almost say that Colin Kaepernick had a better flash than Jalen.
Was it as? I mean, Jalen made
the
playoffs.
He went to a Super Bowl.
Hold on, Jalen went to the playoffs 3 straight years. He was like 22-4 over some stretch of games. I'd have to go back
and look
at Colin Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
No, he was great. I think of it as shorter than Jalen. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, hold on. Colin Kaepernick's window would amount to Jalen's career right now. He's only five
so
years.
So it's longer than I remember. Yeah.
So Michael Irvin.
Am I right about that? I remember Colin Kaepernick going to Green Bay, beating Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game.
100%.
So Michael Irvin. So the question heard around the world. Do we have that question, the question and answer, Elliot and
Jared? Man, I'm telling you, everybody's getting this question on national TV.
Michael Irvin had something to say about it, so did Rex Ryan.
Do you think the worm told me to ask that, or was that not a worm question?
No, you get credit for that.
Curious.
Elliot, we are...
Here we
fair.
Go.
We are fair.
The committee will take it in.
Yeah, we are fair.
If I care too much, I'm crying. If I don't care,
We just want you to do your job. I haven't said one thing about your clothing today. I think you look fine.
Mike did as soon as I walked in.
That's okay. Ike. I can't account for it. He's his own man.
Yeah.
So here's the question and answer. So you served it up for him. You must have thought to yourself, oh, God, you know, when he answered the way that he did.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, they are at a... whatever you want to describe where they're at right now, they're going into the bye 2-2, which I don't think is what they planned on being. It is incredibly important that as they are ripped to shreds from the outside, that inside their leadership is on the same page. Like Nick and Jalen, I think it would be important for them to talk about team messaging, how we want to do this, how's this player doing? Like, what do you think about this? And so I wanted to know if they talked.
So especially when Jalen has definitely had a larger voice within the locker room, spoke to the team after the week 2 loss whatever. So I think all of that is fair. So here was Michael Irvin on Jalen and Nick.
Okay. Would you get Aaron Rodgers to say it about Robert Saleh?
Probably.
You're giving me examples of guys who don't have any type of history there of having strife. We know that there was something there. The article was written, ESPN, it is no secret. There was something last year between these two. Mm-hmm. So you give me the guy that would go to bat or say all these glowing things knowing that there's already been something in the past with them.
I agree that Aaron Rodgers would give that answer about Saleh, but we're also talking about a disappointment, and I think Robert Saleh is going to get fired. So, and Aaron Rodgers, go ahead.
I think the other part of this is sometimes we all like to pretend like that's not happening. So when to your point, like the Jets beat, who'd they beat 2 weeks ago? Was it the Niners? They blew out or whatever. Like when you have a good win, I think it's easy.
Everything's great.
Right, but the core problem with this team is that maybe the head coach and quarterback don't get along. And so you can't win over a sustained amount of time like that. And so in training camp, I thought Jalen's first press conference about it was good. Nick defends him every chance he gets. So it's never the Nick thing at the podium. They're riding in the cart together. And so it was easy to forget. But ultimately, like, that answer reminds you that there might still be a fracture at the core of this team.
First of all, listen, Mike Irvin as an announcer, and since his post career, I got no problem with Mike Irvin. He comes on our radio station from time to time. He's been he's praised the Eagles and Jalen Hurts in years past. So this isn't this sort of cowboy hate sort of thing that I'm going with Mike Irvin right now. But I will say this: Mike Irvin isn't here, so he's speaking from Los Angeles, talking about that there's a problem in the locker room. He's just talking. Mm-hmm. I look at that comment and see we're here and we already know that these aren't the best of friends. So why are we acting surprised by this? I think Jalen was in a moment where he knows he played like crap Sunday. It's after a game. He's not in the mood to be given platitudes. He's not in the mood to do that. So he gives you the "we have our moments" answer. He gives you that. There's nothing else that Jalen has done or said up to that point that says that he and Nick Sirianni are butting heads behind the scenes, and that's why they're losing.
But it just seems like he's never in the mood.
Yeah, but my point is this. That's not a reason as to why they're not playing. I think it's a convenient excuse to make that these two aren't buddy-buddy when we know they aren't buddy-buddy. It's the head coach's job to speak glowingly about his players. It's not the player's job to do that. It's great if they do it, but it's not their job to sit up there and speak glowingly about the head coach and whether or not they talk. We know that they don't have a lot of one-on-ones and hands-on coaching. Do we not know this?
No, we do, but I think okay. that's a problem. I'm just curious.
But that's the way that it is. It was there when they beat Green Bay. It was there when they lost to Atlanta. It was there when they beat the Saints. It was there last week, so it's not changing.
But I think what did change, and we might never get a clear answer as to what happened, but in 2021, when they were trying to trade Jalen and Nick had his back, week one against Atlanta, they had the handshake.
We
they were
know
all,
this no, is no. a one-way well, thing. It isn't no, no, that no, no, Nick no. is well, mad at Jalen. This is a Jalen issue that he isn't ready to move past. What I'm saying is he's working with Kellen Moore. Why can't they get on the same page? And why can't Kellen Moore get Jalen Hurts to play football right? And why can't Jalen Hurts stop turning the ball over? What does this have to do with Nick and Jalen?
So, A, you're right. He has to stop turning the ball over. That's part of it. But it does seem like since it started to come out that him and Nick weren't on the same page is when this thing started to sink. Now, maybe in 2022, they still weren't close. Maybe in 2021, they were not.
The but dude had to put his coach's hand down in the Super Bowl because he was mocking the other team. Like, yeah,
he was,
the
he
Super
was also
Bowl.
Laughing during that. But huh? I'm saying, like,
that wasn't the first time.
Like, so you don't think it's important the head coach and quarterback get along?
I do think it's important.
That's what I'm saying. That's,
but get along how? Like, what's get along?
Jalen can say nice things about him at the podium.
Jalen gets up. No, it doesn't. Winning is what matters. But when you lose, we focus on all this nonsense.
But I think them not getting along is contributing to the losing.
Well, hold on. How great were they getting along in training camp when everybody was putting up gold stars every day, which you were reporting?
Yeah, they were great in training camp. But the games, now that the games have started.
Oh, now the game started. Yeah. They're back mad at each other.
No, I'm just saying in training camp, obviously, all is good. I understand that part of it. But when the tough moments have come, Jalen, once again, is not saying anything nice about Nick. And you can say
I don't care about
that. I know, but
that.
It matters. It matters.
To whom?
Because the entire public perception around this team is that Nick and Jalen don't like each other.
Oh, my God.
It
okay,
is.
Listen, that's fine. I don't care, but I'm talking about winning football games. And unless you're telling me.
But they were winning before they started
to
come out.
But I don't hear anybody saying this is why they're losing.
Because there's a lot of reasons they're losing. But I think everyone agrees the fact that Nick and Jalen are on the same page is not a positive.
Where they're not on the same page yet.
What do you mean? They're not. Like,
you said they're not on the same page. Where are they not on the same page? Messaging.
Hold on.
Message. So I can be specific.
Go ahead.
Messaging, philosophy. What is it? Like, what is it that they're butting heads with?
So, A, I think the offense last year, which is why you're seeing a different coordinator in here, number one.
Okay, and so Nick then does, should so, everybody be happy?
Well, no, but I'm saying that you're saying where are they butting heads? They had to bring in a new coordinator because Jalen.
I'm talking about now. So is Jalen not happy with the offense?
I don't know if Jalen right now is happy with the offense or not. But yeah, the playoffs.
Well, why don't we ask him about that then?
Because I think the relationship between the head coach and the quarterback matters. At the end of the day, it just does. Like, it doesn't mean they're going to save the season, that they can't win. Or if Nick and Jalen don't get along and the core of the team is fractured, I don't see how that's not a problem.
Who said the core of the team is fractured?
The head coach and the quarterback.
We have Jordan next. I would love
the core of the team is fractured. Now every
is
player,
Nick and Jalen
hold on,
the core
every
of the
player
team?
Will state that they're in, the core isn't fractured, but because the head coach and Jalen aren't eating lunch together or hanging out, the core of the team is fractured.
Yes,
nah, I totally disagree.
If the head coach and quarterback aren't on the same page, it is going to be hard.
You
to
keep
have
saying they're
success.
Not on the same page, and I don't understand how they're not on the same page as it pertains to football.
The ESPN article said they wouldn't even get
the
dinner
ESPN
together.
Article.
I mean, you can ignore all the negatives, and you're right that they could,
the
in a way.
The ESPN article.
Yes.
All right. I love you guys both. We have Jordan Mailata
that
next.
Was last year they were talking about.
Right, going into this year.
But they were talking about last year.
This is the last thing I'll say. Jalen also says he lets us see what we want him to see, right? Right now, we are not seeing a good relationship with the head coach. Do you think we're seeing a good relationship with the head coach publicly?
I'm not looking for a good relationship. I'm looking to get wins.
A good relationship will lead to more wins. It will.
All right. Jordan Mailata joins us next. I'm going to
say plenty of coaches and quarterbacks that get along get fired and cut.
Can you guys keep it up? I'll just put it on the Twitter
the
live or whatever.
I'm just saying, I've seen plenty of guys with great relationships. The team still stinks, and the coach still, and the quarterback can't play.
Look, we can put this on my threads. Okay.
All right.
Cut my mic.
Yeah. Well, you cut mine too. So. All right. I got it. All right. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you for having me on. Good job, Elliot. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yep. Good job, Elliot.
Well, we always hit our stride at about 47.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yep. Closer to 50.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.